notorious, so notorious. Hello and welcome to the Two Old Dolphins podcast, a proud member of the Dolphin Talk podcast network. The show is hosted by Alex Sines and me, Scott Quiggle. Welcome to a timeless episode of the Two Old Dolphins podcast. Here we go. It was early in the 2018 NFL season and I was listening to the Big O Show on WQAM Miami to get a Dolphins fix for the day, right? Big O is a music nut like Alex and I, and he introduces his segments with different tunes. There was a kick-ass song playing that I immediately liked, but I didn't recognize the singer or the band, so I tweeted O and his producer, and they got back to me. He said the song was Invincible by Adelitis Way. Over the next few days, I went to YouTube and Spotify and listened to everything, and I loved all of it, so I bought it all on Apple Music. I got a chance to see them for the first time live here in San Diego, December 2018, just before Christmas, and they were awesome. I had taken my oldest daughter, Gabby, to the show. She's just home from college, and we were hanging out talking afterwards, and she looked over and said, "Hey, isn't that the lead singer right over there?" And I'm like, "Sure, let's go meet him." So I ended up having a conversation with him. And it turns out he was playing the Dolphins D in his fantasy league championship game that week. So, Rick DeJesus, frontman for the band Adelitis Way, joins us today to talk about music and sports and football and health. And it's not every day you get to have a conversation with a rock star. So how you doing today, Rick?
I'm a dad star, man. Rock star, dad star, you know. A little bit of every sport fantasy football star, you know.
We can.
I don't know though. Having a pretty bummy year. Pretty bummy year this year, actually.
In fantasy or with the Eagles?
Both, kind of. Right, the Eagles have been underwhelming. Whenever you get blown out by Dallas, you can't walk around feeling too great about yourself in a season. You know, it's like there are a couple years, especially the year won the Super Bowl. Like we were spanking them fairly easily, you know. And this year is. They blew us out the only game we played them.
Is the Eagles still the number one rival of the Cowboys the number one rival of the Eagles? Or
no question.
Without question.
No question.
It's not New York.
Yeah.
It's not the Giants.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Yeah, that's what
not, it's no like, one, no, yeah. Danny Dimes. No one's too worried about Danny Dimes yet.
I heard he got that the name trademarked or something like that. I was reading about that.
Yeah, first we saw that out of Fitzmagic.
Oh, you were running already.
Hey, self confidence. Yeah, Fitzmagic. Look how long Fitzmagic. It's like Linsanity. That's about how Fitzmagic lasts about as long as Linsanity. So there you
perfect.
Go with that.
Perfect.
Right, Danny Dimes. I don't know. I mean, he's been up down up down up down. You know, he's had a couple terrible games.
So Adelitis Way is a band out of Vegas, and we've already asked you the question before, but just for our fans' sake, Rick is an Eagles fan. That's why we're talking about the Eagles right now.
Because he's from Philly originally, right?
Born and raised.
There you go. So your
happy
best
to
friends.
Get out, happy to get out of there, but proud to have lived there.
But still rooting for the 76ers, the Eagles, and
of course.
Lions.
Yeah, I'm more of a Golden Knights fan. That's the only place they lost me.
Oh, good.
They lost me at the Golden Knights. You know, I'm a Knights fan, but I got the Sixers all day. Eagles, you know, those are my teams.
All right. Yeah, nice. Well, you got the local. It was amazing that the Golden Knights were able to do that in year one.
That's incredible.
It's never been done.
It was fun. It was fun, guys. I went to some games. I felt like I was a part of it. The community, I'm telling you, you want to talk about sports fanatics, you cannot drive around Las Vegas without seeing Knights everywhere. Knights t-shirts,
cars,
everything.
Your Raiders are coming now.
Yeah, that was the next question. You know, you want to?
Yeah,
it's like, Rick, you jump ship with your your hockey team. Are you going to become a Raiders fan?
Exactly, you jumping ship with them too.
And I'll just come see with the Eagles. I'll just go to the I'll go to the Raiders games when they play the Eagles. That's about it. I mean, I'm not. I can't jump behind a car. He's just mediocre. I'm not going to leave the Eagles ever because it's just my team. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter if who comes here. You I'm an Eagles green. Fan.
Yeah, you be green. You bleed green and we bleed aqua.
Yeah.
Get that.
Yep. You bleed orange and aqua.
Yeah.
Hey, Rick, I got to ask you this. This is Alex here. And Mike Sanders, a guy that was one of my personal kind of favorite stash running backs, which hasn't really materialized, but the guy's got tons of talent. Now it looks like Howard is might be out this week. Are we finally going to see this kid really get a chance, or is Ajayi going to come in and ruin everything?
Nah, you know what, man? It's just, when have you not seen this Eagles team use a committee? So it's just so difficult to predict them. And ultimately, we would be a pass-heavy team if we had our full strength. I mean, I barely think that they'd be using the running backs if we had our whole arsenal. You know, it's like every week you got Alshon Jeffrey questionable. You have DeSean Jackson that is now out for the year. You have Ertz who's just having a super mediocre season overall.
Yeah, don't I know my fantasy tight end?
Same here. Same here. I'm paying for these girls. Yeah. Me too. He's my third pick. My first three picks in football have been busts. Julio Jones, David Johnson, and Zach Ertz.
Thank you, Mama. Ooh. David Johnson's tough.
That is a tough one.
That's a tough one, yeah. Yeah. And that's rough.
Alex and I are actually deadlocked in second place in the league that we play in together. Yeah.
I am not. I'm 4-6. Everyone's happy that I didn't get in there because I'm coming off of defending my championship for $1,000 I won last year.
Yep. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm defending my championship here also in our league. I'm 7-3.
Yeah, both of us are 7-3. Yeah, 7-3. And the guy in front of us has the Patriots defense.
That's about to end.
That's the reason that he's in first place.
That is about to end. That's not lucky, but it's pretty lucky. You know, look, I drafted pretty deep, so I'm able to bounce back from this David Johnson situation. You know, I drafted Aaron Jones late in it. I picked up Tevin Coleman off the waivers. I have Philip Lindsay that has been my flex that I'm now able to move into an RB2 spot. I took Cortland Sutton late in the draft that everyone really slept good. On. He's been getting me between 8 and 15 a week. Honestly, what's been costing me week to week is the guys you would think are obvious, you know, Julio Jones. Every week, Julio Jones gets me 7 points, 8 points, 9 points. It's like, this is my second round pick. I'm not going to win a championship, but my second round pick can't break 10.
Yeah, I hear that.
Every week. And then Ertz is my third round pick. Had his first good week last week. The fact that I'm 4-6 with all these guys, I'm happy. I got Kyler Murray as my QB. And I got a lot of depth on my bench. And I'm thinking I'm going to make a late run. I traded for Le'Veon Bell this week because I love his schedule coming up. We'll just see how I fare in the end.
Yeah, we're just not big Gase fans, but
we're big anti-Gase people.
Yeah,
we Gase, spend a little bit of every podcast bashing that guy.
Yeah,
he's pretty terrible.
Yeah, I
mean, it's obvious. He's pretty terrible. Pretty obvious at this point. He's pretty terrible. So I think we don't even need to go on. You already bashed him, and we already laugh at him right now.
We roasted him like 10 times over. It's done.
He's roasting him. He's roasting himself at this point.
All right, for the Adelitas Way fans that may be listening, rather than just the Dolphin fans, how about the rest of the band? I mean, I've heard you say they're your best friends. What are they all football guys too?
Yeah, they are. Andrew loves the San Fran 49ers. Trevor is a Steelers fan, and Tavis likes the Cowboys, but he never really talks about them because he knows that we all think the Cowboys.
He stays off the subject. He's a closet fan. Yes.
He's a closet fan. Yep.
Are you guys all in the same fantasy league together? Or are you just playing separate stuff?
Me and Tavis are in three leagues together, yes. And, you know, we're pretty middle of the road in all of them. He's pretty much at the bottom of two of them. We're both at the top in one, and then I'm in the middle of the rest. I mean, there's one league that I have just the sickest team, and it's still underperforming. I have Saquon Barkley and Ezekiel Elliott on my team, and I can't win.
Listen to this. I traded Jackson for Elliott in our two quarterback league, where I still have Watson, but I had to do it because my running backs were killing me. Damian Williams, all those guys.
I stayed away from him. I knew there was something going down in Kansas City this year.
Yeah, I wish I would have done that, but I drafted him in around the fourth round, though, like third or fourth round, because it's a two quarterback league.
Well, I will say I have Mahomes, and no matter what else is going on in Kansas City, Mahomes is still lighting it up as long as he stays in the
league. Yep, of course he is. I can't even talk. Mm-hmm. I'm the league clown. I drafted David Johnson in two leagues. Everyone laughs at me, but. You want to get excited about Cliff Kingsbury, new coach. You want to get excited about a number one draft pick, Kyler Murray, and a healthy David Johnson. I went in on the, you know, I must have been smoking too much before I went in and drafted.
You just forgot to look at the offensive line. That was their issue last year. I'm not sure they fixed it for this year.
They have not.
Yeah.
No, they still.
They have not. Agreed. All agreed.
But so again. So Rick, back to Mike Sanders again, because I got him, and as you know, I got this guy in my draft.
Are you trying to pull the Eagles information?
Because I love this kid. I think he's going to break out this weekend. I don't care that they're who they're playing. I think he's going to break out. I think he's gonna have his time to shine.
I agree with that. I think they're going to have to run the ball down. He's going to have to score a touchdown or two for the Eagles to win this game because.
Yes.
The New England in the red zone is arguably the toughest red zone defense in the league right now. And the only way you get in the – you know, Wentz is also one of the most efficient red zone quarterbacks in the whole NFL. But I think Doug is going to understand that the division is still up for grabs in the East. We need to win the game. And I think he's going to play a little bit conservative. And by playing conservative, I think he's going to give Sanders a lot of touches. Sproles is done for the year. Ajayi is rusty. Howard is banged up. I think if you're gonna go in on the next 2 weeks on Sanders, I would go in now.
Yeah, that's the way I feel. And he's had pretty good darn, pass catcher, and he's got a great second gear. That kid really's got some speed. So yeah, that's what I'm looking at. I want to beat Quigg with using Sanders.
Yeah, no,
I agree. I think it's gonna cause. Go. I think it's gonna cause some trouble. Flex him up.
Yeah,
there you go. Hey, Rick, we talked about it. I hope your daughters are not around. I don't know if it's a big deal, but I want to ask you a question again. On the, I love the story. The name of your band.
I get to LA early for a meeting with Britney Spears' manager. They don't let me check into the hotel at the Roosevelt. My friend from Philadelphia, who's a bit of a thug, was with me. Says, "Let's go to the beach." Little did I know he wanted to go to Tijuana, Mexico. So I'm like, all right, let's go to the beach. I lay down in the back of the truck we had, and I wake up crossing the border in Tijuana. We get pulled over by the cops. They rob us. I hid money in my boot. We're kind of shaken up from getting robbed by the cops. We go into this bar called Adelita's for a beer. I walk in there, and immediately I kind of feel like I connect with this girl because she comes and sits with me, and she starts putting on like this sexy front. And then after a minute, and she realized we had no money because we got robbed, she lets it go and just starts being a human to me, talking to me. And, we start sharing our stories. And at the time, I was a very struggling musician and who just moved to Las Vegas. I was living in my car. I was kind of feeling like life is hard. You know, I was kind of feeling down about just the life that I was living, leaving my family in Philadelphia. And I bump into this girl who starts telling me that, you know, she's been a prostitute since she was 12, 13 years old. She supports her whole family. She pretty much is forced into this trade. And every day she wakes up, comes here and has to sleep with strange men to make a living and to make, to fund her life. And meeting her and just having that whole experience and being in Tijuana, when I got back over to the United States, it just touched me so much and it affected me. That I felt so grateful even for having clean water and having a roof over my head and having the life that I had, and it put it in perspective for me. So, you know, I named the band after the bar that I met her in, which was Adelita's.
That's a great story, man. I mean, every time I hear it, I get chills. Because, you know, the cool thing about the story is that you walked in there feeling sorry for yourself, and you saw that, hey, man, you got so many, you know, so many great things to be grateful for. And then you honored this lady, you know, by naming it. That whole thing is just it's a classic story, Rick, man.
And it felt real. And I had everyone tried to get me to change the band name for the first few years of my career. They said, it's too hard to say. No one knows how to say it. And I used to say the same thing. Well, they'll figure it out. They'll figure it out after we keep doing what we're doing. And everyone knows how to say it when we're done, you know? Mm-hmm.
It's hard for you to handle my life. You're so lonely and it kills you inside. When I left you, the tears in your eyes, it breaks my heart, 'cause I'm making you cry. But
yeah, we have a similar story. Alex keeps trying to get me to change the name of our podcast. He doesn't like being called old.
I can't stand that word. But that's, you know, we are old, but what the hell? You know?
Old just means wisdom, man. You're full of wisdom.
Yeah. Exactly. When I keep trying to say there's humor in it, you know?
You've been around, man. You've been around. Yeah. You raised kids already. You've seen it all. You've been through 40 seasons of the NFL. You know, it shows experience, shows knowledge and wisdom. Two old dudes.
I remember the undefeated season, Rick. That year, I was a kid, obviously. You know, I was like 10 years old, and I was collecting all the newspapers because the Miami Herald would print that one day. They would print the front page in color of the sports section. And I thought it was cool. So I just saved it. So at one point in my life, I had every newspaper article when the Dolphins won on the perfect season. Of course, through life itself and whatever things happened, I lost them all. But I had every single clipping, man. It was like, to me, that was the treasure. That's when I became a Dolphin fan and, you know, loved them forever and still love them. And hopefully we're going to get a comeback.
Those memories never fade, man. Those memories never fade. You know, I have about 10,000 baseball cards sitting in a collection of my mom and dad's house.
Mm-hmm. Are they still in Philly? Living in Philly?
Oh, they're in Philly and they're in mint condition.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I even have the 1983 Donruss set unopened.
That might be worth a few dollars packaged these days.
It might be. Tony Gwynn rookie card in there. Wade Boggs, Tony Gwynn. Yep. Might be. Tony Gwynn ain't going to have no asterisk next to his name. He's going to go down as one of the greatest hitters ever. No steroids, just pure contact.
Yeah, well, living in San Diego, we're surrounded by his ghosts. He's everywhere.
His ghost is still hitting doubles in the gap and singles up the middle. Yeah.
Really cool. Yeah, even even if you get out here and you just happen to get by San Diego State. I mean, he was, you know, after retiring, he became their baseball head coach and contributed to getting that stadium built that they have, the little baseball.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
So it's named after him. You can just drive by there. Well, I kind of get goosebumps when I end up going by there.
Guys,
so.
I got a Tony Gwynn lived in the hometown where I've lived since I moved from L.A. And Rick, now, Tony was one day was shopping, and that day was the day that the Dodgers – as you know, the Dodgers and the Padres hate each other. Mostly the Padres hate the Dodgers. Dodgers seem to hate the Giants. That's the way that goes. And that day Piazza got traded to the Dodgers. Oh no, got traded from the Dodgers. I apologize. They traded him to the Mets.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and I run into Tony Gwynn. So I see Tony. I go, "Hey, Tony." He goes, "Hi," you know, very nice guy, very approachable. And I said, "What do you think of the trade?" He goes, "It's a Dodger. Why the hell should I give a damn?" I couldn't
believe. Yeah, you're right.
He was right. And he says, "Have a good day, man." And he walked. And I was like, "Wow, that's amazing." Because he's always been very approachable and nice. His kid used to play ball with my son. But he just slammed the Dodgers and walked away.
Of course he did. But you know what? I think Piazza went on to hit another 40 or 50 home runs the next 4 or 5 seasons with the Mets. And he also hit 330 a season. So I guess that's why we all should have cared, right? You got a guy who's...
A guy that was a powerful hitter. Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. For sure.
He was a superstar, man, and one of the first catchers to do what he did. And you know, there's no denying that every year, Mike Piazza was hitting 330, 30, 40 home runs.
He was his godfather was Tommy Lasorda.
Yep.
And he was a Philly boy,
right? He had a walk-on too, didn't he? He had some crazy story, like he was undrafted.
Yeah, well, what happened? No, he was drafted at the very end, like the last round. It's a favor to Tommy. He was a first baseman.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was unwanted.
He was a first baseman at the University of Miami at the U, and Tommy asked that he be drafted, you know, because he was his godson. And so they drafted him, the Dodgers, and that's the story. Yeah, and I am pretty confident that he's a Philadelphia guy.
He is. I believe he is as well. He looks like my dad.
you might have some classic story there.
Have you taken the ancestry challenge?
I'm about to, because they look very similar. They look very similar.
So you've got some other football connections, at least through you to the band. You've performed at some games, and tell us a story about maybe about that or some of the Miami connections that you've had in your work.
You know, we've got for performing at games. We get to perform at 2 AFC Championship games with the New England Patriots. They played the Ravens. I think they might have played the Ravens both times. I mean, that just shows you how dominant those two have been, right? I mean, every year it feels like the Patriots and the Ravens are in the AFC Championship. Don't you feel that?
Yeah. And even their matchup during the regular season this year was a bare-knuckle fist fight.
Hey, by the way,
I looked, we're ahead.
Real quick, Rick, I just looked up Piazza. He's from Norristown, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah. I played in Norristown a bunch of times.
That's where he's from. Yeah.
That's like 30 minutes from where I grew up.
Oh, okay. So he's sort of a, you know, Philadelphia guy.
Okay.
People love Mike Piazza there. He's a Philly people like got love for him. Even though he was a Met.
Yeah, that's right. And a Dodger and everything.
Yeah.
Else. Yeah, but he was, you know.
All right, let me.
He's no enemy of the Philly. Don't mind my daughter coughing in the back.
Yeah, that's all right.
It's okay.
The dad in the car.
We both have a daughter, so we can relate.
Hashtag dad life. You know how it is.
I was asking you about your Miami connections, whether it's football or something else.
You know, my Miami connections is usually more or less trying to find fantasy steals. Preston Williams is one of my Miami connections. You know, I love the Dolphins. I mean, I think obviously we all know that Shula is one of the greatest coaches ever. So I think as a kid, you're definitely drawn to powerhouses. I remember always looking up to the 72 Dolphins and Shula, and whenever you could play those video games, Techno Bowl or what, you know, the games that we were playing. Uh-huh. What team were you picking? Right?
Yeah, Marino.
It was always Marino every time.
Yeah.
Every time.
I met
Dan Marino once.
There you go. Tell us about that.
He was awesome. Guy's guy, man. Very likable. Very, you know. He had a bar here in Vegas for years, Marino's.
Yeah, he had one in Coconut Grove.
Yeah, I've been to
Miami.
That one.
I used to go to a lot. another Philadelphia guy, right? Pittsburgh guy.
Yeah, he's Pittsburgh.
He's a Pittsburgh guy. Yeah. Pennsylvania.
Lots of talent coming out of PA.
Oh yeah, especially quarterbacks, huh? Back in the day, yeah, it used to be the quarterback state.
They're saying those band guys. They're saying those band guys are going to be the next wave of talent coming out of PA. This band. I was saying that the next wave of talent to come out of PA is this band called Adelita's Way. They say they're Vegas.
Oh, there you go. It's bands. Okay, got it. Yeah, I think so. So, well, this, as we said, you know, a lot of musical talent out of Pennsylvania that we've all talked about. Lots of variety, man. I mean, you know, the doo-wop guys to rock and roll to everything.
It's hard for me because I grew up in Philly. I got my mindset from Philly. But honestly, as a band, I feel like Vegas has done so much more for this band. Is even like just as far as embracing us and just as far as like the culture of where I believe this band is from, you know?
Yeah, I mean, your band is basically considered a Vegas band. Everything, you know, that's what you guys are, when people talk about it.
That's home for them.
That's what they told us. Yeah. You know, the Vegas band. They're like the, you know, the killers. Yeah. Or something, you know?
You've been with Trevor the longest, right? How'd you guys hook up musically?
You know, I was writing songs, kind of getting my career started. I made a demo already. I had a bunch of interest from record labels. And I knew I had to start putting a band together because it was kind of getting a lot of action, a lot of heat. You know, people were starting to sniff around a lot. So I met Trevor through a mutual friend. And the thing I loved the most about Trevor was his dedication was immediate. You know, he was driving in from L.A. regularly to come rehearse with no complaints, no nothing. Just a great attitude all around coming in. He knew the songs in and out right away. There was never a moment of like, all right, well, I guess we got to rehearse or like, you know, the first time I ever played with Trevor, he played all the songs that I wrote, right.
Awesome.
You know,
yeah,
right away. And it's just, and ever since then also too, we clicked as far as personally, we're very different. He's very quiet and very boisterous. I'm a big personality. Trevor keeps to himself a bit, but it's a good balance to have that, right? You can't all be, just big balls of energy. So
yeah.
Me and Trevor do a lot of yoga together. We eat very healthily together. We watch football together and some hockey games. He's a big Penguins fan. So, you know, it's a good dynamic. It's a good dynamic to have to have my right hand in the band. And he's been with me for, about 11 years now.
Yeah, it was almost funny as I was looking at upgrading my kit. I went on the Pearl site and I had asked Trevor last time I saw him. I got to have a little bit of a conversation with him and, you know, I'm like, are you strictly Pearl? My kit already is Pearl, so I'm happy with them, but I just wanted to upgrade the quality of the kit. Mine's 31 years old or something like that. So, and what do I see? I see you guys like young. Because he was a featured drummer on the Pearl website.
Oh, they treat him so good. They love him. They give Trevor a lot of love. They treat him great. They send him a lot. I mean, I got to imagine they've almost sent him almost $50,000 in drum kits over the years.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Which is pretty amazing, right?
And does he write as well music or is he?
Not really. I mean, no. I don't want to say no. So here's how I kind of operate. I kind of write the songs. I think about them a lot, put a lot of mind power into them. Daddy, what about I get them dad? Shaped up to work to where I want them. I'm on the phone, baby. I bring the producer in and we'll start tracking like almost a bed track, you know, basic drum beat, guitars over the melodies and the lyrics that I have. And then after I get the track into a place that I enjoy listening to it, I'll bring Trevor in and, me, Trevor and the producer will sit down and we'll go over drum ideas. We'll say, what if on the reintro here, we did a snare roll into two cymbal splashes or whatever we end up doing, you know, like, like we go over the fills, you know, and we listen to the beats together. We go over the fills. And then the majority of the time, you know, we'll just get a studio for the day that we love and we'll use top line gear to track the vocals and the drums in the same day pretty much. you know, and Trevor will go in there and play the parts that we all discussed, you know, so he'll play the fill that we listened back to and kind of decided we were going to have that as the fill going into the intro, going into the pre-chorus, or, you know, we really just dissect it down and study the music and try different things. And then from that point, Trevor will go in there and lay the drum track and go.
Oh, that's a pretty awesome insight to the way you guys work. So that kind of leads right into, I was pretty excited to hear that, you know, you're off the road for, that's not exciting that you're off the road, but that you're back in the studio laying down new stuff.
Well, we are off the road and you know, we're going to play some gigs here and there, but for the majority, we won't do like a full-blown U.S. tour till probably late March, I'd say. You know, we'll play some shows here and there to fill in, and sometimes, you know, we'll get phone calls. Like right now we got called in, and I'm trying to sort the details out before I spill too much on it, but we got a call from some benefit in San Antonio to play with Pink, but I need more details on it. So we get these random phone calls of shows that pop up, and we kind of fill our schedule. But other than that, I always am going to the studio. I don't have a set time to where I record albums. I don't like, obviously the only time I have to be available is when we're off the road. I don't record on the road. I don't like to record on the road. We usually wait until we're off the road. And then when I see a window after I spend some time with my family, I'm always in the studio making new tracks and making new content and putting the work in to try to make something fun and great and be creative and also work hard and really push myself to try to make arguably, you always want to try to make the best song in the world, right? I mean, that's that's always sure. The goal. You always have the fans in mind. You always have your emotions in mind, and you always want to make sure that you're really just trying new things and creative things and trying to be different from some of the things you've just continuously done in the past.
Rick, when you write a song, when was the time I really wrote something here that I'm super proud of? What? How old were you, and what song was that?
I would say Homeschool Valedictorian. Now was the first time that I really felt, actually, I'm not even gonna lie, even from the first album, when we finished that first album, I felt like I started something special there, and I also knew though that I was going to be the kind of artist that was most likely going to have to build a catalog of songs. You know, I never envisioned being a band that just played a bunch of songs and everyone waited for one hit and then when we were done they left. I always envisioned this being a bit of a catalog kind of and a bit of a long road to the top, you know, and even a long road to the middle is fine for me. I'm not, when I go into the studio, I try to not compare, I try to really just focus on being the best I can be and having a great time doing it. So I would say every album, to be honest, even right now, I feel like I'm creating a lot of magic in the studio and whether that turns out to be that way or not, you have to feel it while you're writing it, right?
Exactly.
You want to do your best, you know, and for me, there are different levels of success for everyone. You know, it's like some people could look at some of my latest pieces, you know, What It Takes, I think is one of the best songs I've ever written. And say, well, you know, it wasn't as big as Invincible, but to me, I look at what it's done for me independently, and I'm extremely proud, and it's just been a huge part of the success of our band and my life overall. So everyone has a different way to gauge success, you know, and I gauge success off of, you know, how well the song performs for my life, you know, and some of these new songs have really, they just continue to change and adjust our lives daily.
I'm down for anything. Who knows what life will bring? I'm down for anything. No matter what, no matter what it is. I'm down for anything. All I wanna do is kick it with you. Trips and views, we'll do whatever we want. Let's do whatever we want. Hit the town under New York City lights. Hit a white sand beach in paradise. All I wanna do is whatever we want. So what you wanna do? Ride with me, ride with me. Do you really wanna ride till you die with me? Come on, fly with me, fly with me. I love the way you wanna jump, feel alive with me. I'm down for anything. I'm down for anything. I'm down for anything. I'm down for anything.
Rick, and along the line of songwriting, one last question. When you write the song, do you picture sometimes when along the way do you think like, hey man, I could see this thing being live, tremendous. This is more of a studio song. Does that ever come into play? And if it does, you know, in which way? Let's say why you're composing the song, you got, you know, 80% of it done, and when along the way you go like, man, I can't wait to do this thing live. This is a great live music, or this is more of a song that we're going to lay a track down and that's where it's going to shine.
I'll tell you this. This is a good insight to get behind the scenes. Sometimes you want to push yourself vocally on a recording, but it might not be possible to do it every night with the combination of 20 other songs. So, you know, sometimes you don't want to put every song in the same range that you're in or the same key all the time. So you want to say, look, let me try this one a key higher on the recording. And you take that chance, and you take the chance that you're not going to be able to perform it live, but you'll be able to have it on the recording, because you got to remember when we go live, you know, I can sing that song four or five times alone in the studio and it'll sound powerful and amazing. But can I sing that song every night after singing 13 other songs in my most powerful range? Sometimes it's just a bit too difficult. So there are certainly songs that I leave off the set on purpose, you know, because it's just was meant for the studio. When I try to sing them live, it just takes too much out of me to perform at a high level.
Yeah, you're doing on super tour. Cool. You're doing four or five a night, or four or five a week, right? Something like that. So
four or five shows a week, and about 11 to 15 songs a night.
Do you come away from the tour with some like stories like, I can't believe that happened?
Oh yeah, of course.
Is there one you can share? I mean, we do have the adult rating. I wouldn't want it to go too far.
There's been all kinds of cool stuff. I mean, one time we played, we were headlining a show in like North in like Hampton Beach, and I remember a bunch of the Boston Bruins came out, man, and I remember when Tuukka Rask was a rookie, and there's this guy. I come out of the dressing room and there's this guy kind of sitting in the hallway, and he was like, "What's up, man?" He's like, "Awesome show, awesome set." And I was like, "Thanks, man." And then he was really big, like really tall. And I was like, "You're huge, man." And he's like, "Yeah, I'm a goalie, man. I play for the Bruins." And I was like, I looked him up right afterwards, and it was Tuukka Rask, man. And it was cool. And we got to hang out with him all night. And it was just a really fun, cool hang. And it was cool to see, you know, he was just letting us know how much some of our songs, you know, motivated him. And it was cool, man. It was just cool to realize you can connect to anyone, I guess, right?
And that's part of your personality too. I mean, I said it before, I think you're one of the most generous
thank you.
Rock stars.
Thank you.
Look how much time you've given us over.
Well, I think you got to be, right? Generosity and gratefulness is just part of it, and I think you got to pay it back, not only to others, but you know, for me it's a goal to do overall in my community more, in my church more, and everything, you know, like I'd like to continue to have success and continue to focus on helping you know, others, whether it's, you know, we have a lot of dreams and aspirations, me and my wife and my family. You know, we'd like to one day be able to start a nonprofit for animals. And obviously we want to continue to be able to give more every year to our church and do all these things. And it's cool when that becomes your goals, man. And I appreciate you saying that, because it's a trait that I want to continue to grow on. I want to continue to be more generous and to be more able to help others.
Yeah, gratefulness goes hand in hand with you know, when you have gratitude with people that are happy, happiness. And, yeah. You know, that's really cool. Rick, we got to ask you this question, because we've had a life change in our own lives. So,
and we heard you say you were eating healthy.
We're going to throw this thing out there. A while back, I read a book, and actually I heard a book, because I told Scott that I listen to books now. I don't have time to read. But the cool thing is, I got this book. It's called How Not to Die. I'll throw a plug for it. And it's a great book that dealt with becoming basically a vegan, plant-based food.
That's the way we live our lives. I could talk about that a lot. My wife and my daughter are both vegan.
What if I told you that I think you're perfect? Beautiful sky in your eyes, it's so worth it. Oh no, you make me feel alive. What if I told you that I'm in forever? Nothing to hide, yeah, I'll go wherever you will go. You make me feel alive. And I'll be hanging on every word you say.
They haven't had meat in a long time. And have you watched Game Changers on Netflix?
We love it. And yesterday I watched, we love it. And yesterday I watched the health. It's called What the Health.
Have you seen that?
Yeah. I'm very, very high on eating clean, eating healthy, superfoods, plant-based. You know, I'm new to it. My family's been committed to it for years. My wife and my daughter,
it's crazy,
have been just committed to years, and I've just seen how healthy of a lifestyle they live, and it's motivating. And for me, I'm trying my best, man. You know, I still eat some cheese, and I think the one thing I've been able to cut out fairly easily so far, thanks to the Impossible Burgers and the Beyond Burgers, is
yes,
meat.
Yep.
Meat has been easy for
Same
me
here.
To avoid at this point. You know, I've had no trouble staying away from chicken, pork, and beef recently. I've enjoyed the Impossible Burgers and the Beyond Tacos and the things that I'm able to get. But for the most part, I drink a lot of smoothies, super fruit smoothies. I drink a lot of juices, organic juices, that's honestly the way I enjoy eating at this point. You know, when I wake up in the morning, I want to have a super fruit bowl or a super fruit smoothie or a black bean enchiladas or lentil enchiladas, quesadillas. You know, it's like I prefer those at this point.
Yeah, we were going to do a bit, and we probably still are, on Game Changers alone, because it has such ties not only to the Dolphins, but
to our lives,
to the way we live now. And,
yeah.
Rick, and I think it's awesome that you're going in the same path. Look,
the results are in my fitness. I mean, if you've,
yep.
If you go back two, 3 years ago, I was definitely walking around 20 to 25 pounds too heavy. during some of the moments where people were saying were the peak of my career, I just wasn't showing up and delivering, man. I was fat. I was sad. I wasn't in the right state of mind, and I wasn't physically fit enough to be a star. So I didn't deserve to be everything that wow. artists want to think they are. I think right now I'm in the place I need to be. I think physically and mentally, I just bloomed late. Maybe I wasn't on a record label when that happened, which is fine with me because, like I said, it's a long way to the top. But mm-hmm. I think a the big reason that I've been able to be as healthy as I'm able to be is due to yoga, due to being in the gym every day, due to also having a partner and a family that are a great influence on my diet and my working out. So I do a lot of yoga with my wife. We eat very clean together. And I think a lot of the leaning vegan for me, for the most part, I mean, at this point, honestly, when I pick out what I've eaten through the day, it's pretty vegan, man. It's pretty vegan, or limited, very. Yeah. And I've noticed a dramatic change in not only my physical body, but even mentally.
Yeah, just you sharing that, because we've seen it in our own lives, and you know, we both, Scott and I, I've lost 40 pounds, Scott like 30 pounds.
Yep.
And we
congrats, guys.
And this is awesome. I mean, it's only been a year, but it's been a great life changer.
More
for
energy,
us.
Better health, mm-hmm.
Same here. And if smarter.
You want to feel really good about it, yeah. If you want to feel really good about it, you're helping to save the planet. Right.
Yeah.
It's the meat industry that's burning down the forests.
Yeah. I mean, it's we think it makes it.
Well, these animals don't need to die, man. These animals don't need to die, especially when they have the cows don't need to die when they're making the Impossible Burger. I mean, this thing is better than a cow's burger. It's better. It tastes better.
Yep.
It's just like, stop killing them. Just stop killing the cows, and everyone should just be eating these plant-based burgers. They taste better than the meat,
and you don't feel bloated, and you're not killing the planet. It's an amazing, Rick, man. You got your, you know, this is really awesome that you said that, because when Scott and I looked at each other when you said that earlier, and we said, you know, we both, I could read his mind, you know, after knowing him so many years. We gotta ask him, because it does make a big difference when people do the lifestyle change that you've done, and in your business, where historically is not, you know, the music industry, especially the rock industry, you know, it has this history of people maybe not taking care of themselves as the way they should. And you doing that, that's a great influence to so many people, man.
Yeah. If we weren't already fans enough, especially me, I just me went too. Up another notch. So,
mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Big time. Big time.
Yeah. I've got to get Alex to see you guys. So,
oh, I can't wait.
Yeah.
We're going to be in Vegas for the draft when the Miami is going to, it's going to change his whole destiny in one draft.
Let's get the NFL calling up Rick and say, you know, we need some music at some of the events going on during the NFL draft. Well, hopefully something awesome like that happens. It'd be great for us to be able to see the band while we're out there. It'd be great for Rick and Adelius Way to be playing live during that crazy NFL draft period of time. It'd be awesome for all the fans to get a little bit of both. I think that that about wraps this up, and hope you enjoyed it. The Two Old Dolphins podcast is proud to be a member of the Dolphins Talk Podcast Network. In addition to our website at twooldolfans.com, iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play, we can also be found at dolphinstalk.com. You can reach out to us through our website and email address that's there, or find us on Twitter, where we're very active. We have an Instagram account that we post to occasionally, and a Facebook page. The Two Old Dolphins would like to thank Rick DeJesus and Adelitas Way for allowing us to use their music through our podcast. Absolutely kick-ass rock out of this Las Vegas band. And if you get the chance to see them live, don't miss it. They put on a great show every single time. The Two Old Dolphins would also like to thank the band Tartanic. We love those bagpipes and drums, and we've got them in the podcast too. Guarantee get the chance to see them live at the fair or wherever they may be. They put on an entertaining show. It's a blast. Don't miss them.
Thank you for listening to Two Old Doll Fans. Join us next week for more news, analysis, and old guy stories. Good night.
Go Dolphins!
Invisible tonight.